Many, many years ago, I preached on these areas. So those that have been with me, I'm going to use some of the things. You know, when you go over another story, some will be the same and so forth. It's just a well-known story. So the title of this message this morning is The Calling of God. The Calling of God. If I start coughing through the middle of the message, I'm coming down with the flu right now. But praise the Lord, amen. So if I start really coughing, you already know what it is, amen. But the calling of God, when God calls a man, when God calls a woman to do something different, something that will bring glory and bring honor unto his name. The calling of God, when a man and a woman receive the calling of God for their individual lives, for their marriage, their children, this city. So I'm going to be speaking about the calling of God. God is still calling for men and women and youth to respond to the call of God. We serve the same God of yesterday, today, and forevermore. And he's still speaking. He's still calling out. And he's looking here this morning to who's going to respond when he calls upon your name. Amen. When the Lord calls to the life of a man or a woman, he makes it personal. He makes it personal when the Lord calls upon the life of a man and a woman or a youth member. He makes it real personal to the point where you know he's speaking to you. There could be over 100 people in the sanctuary this morning, and if you're tuned in and you're listening to the message, you're going to hear the voice of the Lord speaking to you. You're going to hear the Lord calling upon your name. You're going to hear the Lord asking for you to make some changes within your life. Anytime the Lord calls a man or calls a woman or a youth member, there's going to have to be adjustments and changes that we're going to have to make in order to answer the call of God. So if I can have no more moving around, everybody coming to an end, amen? If everybody can come to an end and they're moving around, I want everybody being focused here this morning, amen? The calling of God, amen? As we go to the book of Genesis, we're going to go off of how God would call on the life of Abraham, amen? And how he would become Abraham down the line. So as we go to Scripture, if you don't have your Bible with you here this morning, all Scriptures being given will be on the screens, the overhead screens, amen. So I want everybody paying attention. We're a Bible church. I would like for everybody to eventually, you get you a notebook, a pen, amen, and you're able to write down, amen, points that stand out to you and go back home and study them, amen, to be a true student of the Lord. It's true pupil of the Lord, amen? And God calls out to a man, a woman, or a youth member, amen? The Bible reads, the Lord had said to Abraham, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. How many wants to be a blessing instead of a cursing? Amen. How many were cursing for a very, very long time? We were cursed to be cursed. Amen. We were cursed to curse. Verse 3 says, I will bless those who bless you. He's speaking to Abraham. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. Father, we thank you, we love you, and give you all the glory and all the honor for this beautiful moment within your temple, Lord. I pray that the hearts of the men and the women be open, minds be open, be teachable, that there be a teachable spirit here So as we become teachable here this morning, Lord, we will be able to respond. My prayer, Lord, is that every man, woman, and youth, wherever they may be right now, would respond this morning unto your calling. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. As we go to the word of the Lord, amen. I read from Genesis chapter 12, verse 1 through 4. And here was the very beginning as God would call upon the life of Abraham. Amen. On my notes I put, when the Lord's calling comes upon your life, He does not only call you from one place to another, as He did me, from Texas to California to Milwaukee, amen. He also calls out of your life what is good and bad. Amen. The Lord is the only one that can call the good and the bad out of your life. Amen. The enemy might be able to call the bad out of your life, but he ain't able to bring the good out of your life. And the good news here this morning is when the Lord calls upon a man, a woman, or a youth member, He not only delivers them of what might be bad, what's not good, but He also is able to bring out the good within your life. And I believe if we were all to ask ourselves here this Sunday morning, really be truthful and look into our lives and say, am I a good man? Am I a good woman? Am I a good youth member right now in the church? Am I within me? Am I good? I believe that we would all say that we're good. But it's one thing knowing inwardly that we're good, and it's another thing bringing out the good that is within our lives. How many struggle to do the good that is within your life? You know it's there. You know it's of God. You know it's not your doing. But yet there's a struggle in bringing out what is good. I mean, bringing out what is good is much harder than bringing out which is bad. How you like that revelation? How many know it's much easier to bring the bad out of our life instead of what's good out of our life? So God is not only able to deliver and take what's bad out of your life, but He's also able to bring the good that is within your life. Do you believe that the good that's within your life? I need people waking up. There's a few dozing off already. Wake up. You know who I'm talking about. It's the work of the enemy. I mean, at least give me 30 minutes to start dozing off. My God. I think I'm starting off to a real good start. Some of you already. It's just the presence of the Lord, Pastor, is heavy up in here. It's upon me, man. He's like, it's that Shekinah glory, man. It's like, don't you feel it? My God. And you're needing breakthrough right now. I saw two or three right now, man. I wish I could just say your name. Shame the devil and just say your name. But my God, if you can't stay awake, go home, get in your car and leave. Shh, hijuela. Embarrassing. Get up, go to your car, and go home and go to sleep. That's what the bed's for. The church chair ain't to go to sleep. It's to hear the word of the Lord. It's to change. It's to go through the process. It's to become a great man of God, to make a difference within this city. My Lord, 2 minutes in the message. Some say I'm boring, but I ain't that boring. That's you. Don't put that on me. Well, the message was all right, you know. Kind of put me to sleep. Yeah, right. That's you. That's the bad in you coming out with some eyes closed. That's the bad coming out of you. Not out of me. I've been up early morning. I was all day over there in the sun, cooking in the sun and everything, running around all over the place. If anybody should be asleep this morning, I have a flu and everything, it should be me. But I'm bright, bushy-tail awake to preach the gospel. My Jesus. Go get a hotel. Go to sleep. Stay there all week. The chair you're sitting on ain't a lazy boy. Boy. All right. I think I got those two or three up. They might just go right back in a couple of minutes, but that's their loss. The gospel is still going to go forward. Where were we? Abraham fell fast asleep when God called unto him. ¿Qué hago, Daniel? ¿Se quieren dormir? ¿Qué hago? Y unos van a decir que andaba orando por ti, pastor. Translated, some are going to say, pastor, I'm praying for you as you speak. Ay, ay, ay. I mean, at least Jesus told his disciples in the garden, changing message, you guys are getting me off, man. Could you not stay watch for 1 hour, he told them? I'm asking you for 5 minutes. Can you not stay watch for 5 minutes? My God, you drive all the way to church to go to sleep. I give you permission, stay home and stay asleep in your bed. Ay, 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 man. All right, that's the old pastor coming out. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Okay, he's out. So God does not only bring the bad out of us, amen. Some of you are just saying, pastor, it was just the word so powerful. God's bringing the sleepy out of me right now. But he's also able to bring the good that is within your life. There's so much good within each and every one of our lives. And that's why the enemy would want you to go to sleep as the word of God is going forward. To keep you asleep to the things of God. It's easy for bad to come out of our lives. It's an instinct. It naturally happens. But God's calling for the good that he has placed already within your life to come out and help somebody's life that just owes nothing but bad. He does not only call you from one place to another, he also calls your life. It's good and bad to position you unto his will. God's wanting to position some men, some women, some youth, some new men, women, and youth here within the church. It's called growth. There's a good turnout now. A lot of you were late, but praise the Lord. God wants to position us right now for greatness, not for only our own lives, but he wants good, the good that he has placed within our lives to come out to be able to help somebody else. It's kind of hard to help somebody else when all that's coming out of your life is bad. Nobody wants to be helped by a person that all they keep seeing is bad come out of their life. God wants to bring the calling within your life out this day. He wants to bring what is good, what he has predestined for your life to come out. But sometimes we need more help in bringing what is good out of our lives instead of what is bad out of our lives. That's the one liner you should write down. You can make the altar call with that one. It's not in the notes. Three things happen when the Lord calls a man or woman or youth. As we go to Genesis 12:1, the Bible reads, "The Lord had said to Abraham, Leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. So here the Lord is speaking to Abraham. The Bible says the Lord said to Abraham. He's having a conversation with Abraham. So three things the Lord does when he calls a man, a woman, or a youth member. And the first thing he does is that he will speak to you. He'll speak to you. He will speak to you. The first thing he'll do will be that he will speak to you. I put here, the Lord spoke to me while I was in prison. That's where my calling started. It didn't start in a church. It started in prison. The power of God went through the cells that kept family out, kept everything that was good out, but couldn't keep the good and the grace and mercy of my Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus would come through the prison bars and he literally spoke to me. Some of you are saying, was it audible? No, it wasn't audible, but it might as well have been audible. It was that great of a movement of when the Lord spoke to my life, he might as well just spoke audible. Two times it happened in prison where he just grabbed a hold of my life and he would start giving me thoughts that I know weren't of the world, not of me, but of heaven from his throne. They were the words of God for my life. He was starting the calling within my life, the process. And it would start behind prison bars where the Lord would speak to me. I put here, everybody has a place that the Lord spoke to them, where the Lord has spoken to you. At the end there, verse 1, it says, your people and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. These are points that just about any minister would make in the beginning of a message. It plainly shows that the Lord did not tell Abraham where he was going. He just told him to go. Amen? I put here, he'll never give you the full picture. A lot of times the Lord is not going to give you the full picture because you're not capable of handling the full picture of what God has for your life. So he has to give it in little bits and pieces at a time for you to be able to respond, to grow, respond, to grow, and to go from glory to glory. He'll give you bits and pieces. He will not give you what you're called to be. It would be too much for you to handle mentally or physically to actually to carry out. There's times the Lord just wants us to move, I put here, in another direction. Some of you here this morning, any direction would be better than the direction you're on right now. Can I hear amen, somebody? But where are we going, Pastor? Let's move. Some of you, any direction would be better than the direction you're headed here this morning. You can be in church going the wrong way. But here this morning, God is trying to bring the good out of your life, the calling out of your life. But you're going to have to be watchful. You're going to have to be listening. And you're going to have to respond. Moving in any direction, not really knowing where you're going or what you're doing. Do you know that you can be obedient, moving in a fresh direction, not knowing what you're doing or where you're going? Because that's the way it starts with everybody. When we're called of God and we've been living the life of the world, everything is new to us. So we don't, okay, what do I do now? Okay, what? That's what that needs to be, discipleship. What do I do now? What do I do now? Why is he talking to me like that? Rebuke, what's that? Ain't nobody going to rebuke me. Ain't nobody going to correct me in the church. That's a place where everybody's supposed to have it all together. Oh, really? So here, sometimes we just got to make a move and get off the direction we've been on for a long time. Even if you don't know where you're going or what you're doing, I put here. Something different. There's somebody here this morning that needs something different to take place within the life. You're stuck, you're in a rut, and you need something different, something fresh to take place. You'll take anything right now. But too many times we want to be picky. Trusting in the Lord. Verse 2 says, this is the second thing that the Lord will do. The first thing he does, he will speak to you. The second thing the Lord will do, he will give you a promise. And the Lord, when he promises, he keeps his promises. We're promise breakers, amen? But when the Lord promises something, when he speaks to you and he gives you that promise, he will back it up. Verse 2 reads, this is the promise. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. Verse 2, amen? He will then give you a promise. He won't just speak. He'll give you a personalized promise for your life. He'll put something up within your future for you to go after. Even if you're just moving, not knowing where you're going, and not knowing what you're doing. That's the way it is in the things of the Lord. That's why our walk is one of faith. Our walk is one of faith. We're not supposed to have it all together. We know that the Lord has it all together. Sometimes we just need to move in any direction besides the one we've been on. When I was in prison, the Lord would give me promises, and I wasn't even in Victor Outreach yet. I mean, the Lord was speaking to me. I mean, I was having Saul Paul's encounters. In prison, minding my own business. I wasn't looking for God. I wasn't looking for God. I wasn't praying and reading my word. But when I had those encounters, those two encounters, I would start flipping through the Bible and I would start reading it. I didn't understand none of it. I would start laying hand and praying for men. I got all those names, Night Owl, El Vato Loco, you know, all these names of these prison guys. And I would start to intercede for them, not knowing a clue what I was doing. Still smoking cigarettes, amen? Put my cough drop back in my mouth, praise the Lord. Someone you would say, that's not too proper, but that's better than me coughing, amen? And the Lord would start to give me promises, and one would be that my family would come back, and I've shared this in a lot of messages. My family hated my guts. There was no way that was going to happen. No way, no way, no way, no way would that ever happen. That my family taking me back. For those that have been with me for years, I mean, I had sisters saying they would rather die of AIDS and cancer than ever speak to me again. I was that bad. Even when I was in prison, they didn't send a penny my way. 7 years. My mom, the first time I went to prison, my mom and dad sent me money, but the second time I went to prison, not even they sent me money. They scratched me off for all the actions that I deserved. Nobody wanted to speak to me. So I wasn't anticipating or expecting for one of them to speak to me, and it was then that God says, now I can speak to him. Now I can call upon his name. Now I can let him know that I want to use him. Even though his own biological family has scratched him off as a 100%, like we would go, loser. God says, no, he's not a loser. I just got to bring the good out of his life. If the bad can come out, surely the good can come out. How many believe that this morning? If the bad can come out, why can't the good come out? The bad coming out is the work of the enemy. The good coming out is the work of Jesus. What do you want coming out of your life? Another one would say, God would speak to me and say that I was going to be a pastor. Now I knew he had the wrong guy. I was raised a Catholic all my life. Under priests that would smoke cigars, drink come to my dad's house in the country, have a couple of mixed drinks with my dad. I thought it was all good, you know? But then I got the Holy Ghost conviction, the VO way of doing things. I said, man, these guys were partying at my house. I look back, man, they were partying. They were catching a buzz. They weren't just having a sociable drink, amen? As a little kid, I would have to get the ice for my dad, and ice to the top, the whiskey would go all the way up, and then my dad would put a little splash of Coke on the top. One Coke can would go for about 20 drinks. And I look back, I says, man, the priests were partying. I remember the last one, he was a real cool priest. He would smoke cigars and cigarettes and play basketball with us. This priest was so cool one time that we went boating, right? And that day he was so cool that I took a couple hits of acid, right? And I remember that day just putting my hand in the water when the boat was going, he was like, what is wrong with the pastor's son? And all I was doing was putting my hand in the water. The water was rushing. And that's all I did was just put my hand in the water. I never heard nothing about Jesus, the cross, the blood, the power of the blood of Jesus. I always looked up and there was a body figure on that big old cross in that Catholic church with the crown still on top, and he was dead. The way I seen it, he was dead. And the one that lived was the Virgin Mary. She was the one that was reigning and living and the powerful one. But for all I knew as a kid, being an altar boy, Jesus was dead. I mean, the stakes there in the cabinet even had a little trickle of blood coming down all over. He was dead. Year after year, he was hanging on that cross. I knew he was dead. Then he called upon my life while I was still in prison to bring the good out of my life. If Satan can bring the bad out, why can't Jesus bring the good out that created your life? That's why I'm determined what I do. If you only knew what goes through this mind on a daily basis to keep everything afloat here, you would say, you are crazy, Pastor, and I am, for Jesus. I am crazy for Jesus to do what I do, but he saved me from death over and over. My love of my mom and dad could not bring the good out of my life. They couldn't stop the bad out of my life. They were clueless. They were powerless. But then came Jesus one day while I was just doing time, minding my own business. And some of you are just doing time right now in the church, and you're still minding your own business. Jesus still loves you. He still wants to speak to you. He still wants to drop his promises in your life to bring the good, to bring the what he has already placed in your life to come out. The big one was that I was going to become a pastor. In prison, I put here, how could this be? Process. I had to go through a process. In verse 4 is the third point. The first point was that he spoke to him. In verse 2, he gave the promise to Abraham. And in verse 4, it would now fall on Abraham. Amen. Verse 4 reads, so Abraham left as the Lord had told him. He was in obedience, in compliance. So Abraham left as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. See, it really don't matter how old you are, how young you are here this morning. God wants to bring the good out of you. I think there's a worship song, or is it a praise song, that the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. But that decision falls on you. God will speak. He will bring the promises. But there's got to be a verse 4 in everybody's life and moving to what God has spoken and the promises that he has given your life. You're going to have to move. You're going to have to be in obedience. There's got to be a verse 4. Verse 4 is our part. Verse 1, verse 2 was the part of the Lord. And verse 4 is our part. Are we going to move in what the Lord has spoken to us and the promises He has given us? Are we really that concerned about the good and the fullness of Christ coming out of our lives to help others? Or are we still stuck in self, where it really doesn't matter and you're just existing right now, going to work from day to day, just existing, just breathing? I want to let you know that that's all God needs right now for you to respond. Abraham moved on what the Lord had spoken. In verse 4, the Bible says that he left. I put here something about moving from your current position. There's something about when you hear the word of the Lord and it's knocking. Wow, that don't even make noise now. When I had my mic, I would go like that, but that's a pretty good mic. Praise the Lord. There's something about when you hear the word of the Lord and it's being preached, and it was being preached. I was at the edge of my chair every message, hearing, because I knew God was doing something. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know what I was doing, but I knew something good was happening, and good for the first time in my life was starting to flow out of my life. And I knew it was when I started paying attention to the messages, when I had started coming to church, that's when that river that had been in there all along would start to flow within my life and out of my life. When the preachings were taking place, and even though I didn't understand all the Bible Pastor Herb would be preaching, something I knew was taking place in my life that would allow me to respond, to stop smoking, that would allow me to respond to, you know, from checking out the girls to, you know, and going through a process, stopping this, and the cussing. Something happened when I was hearing the word of the Lord by faith. I was hearing. Faith comes by hearing. By hearing the word of the Lord. Faith in responding to what Jesus has for your life. The good that He wants to bring out of your life this day. Some of you got to get to a place where you're tired of nothing but negativity coming out of your life. Or absolutely nothing coming out of your life. Verse 4 is you. Verse 4 is me. And there's going to always be challenging times. Hard times are always going to be there. They're always going to be there. We can't allow to use them as a crutch and why we're not fulfilling and doing our verse 4 part. God wants to bring the good out of your life that comes from His life. From His dreams, His desires, His will. He wants to see come out of your life. No longer your will, but His will. We need no help in bringing the bad out of our life, but we need Holy Ghost help in order to bring the good out of our life. Abraham moved. It wasn't something just a physical move. It was something spiritual was taking place within his life. Until to this very day, it feels like I've been saved for one day. God's still asking more of me and more of me. I still hear the same voice that I heard when I didn't understand it, when I didn't know what He was doing. I think it's sometimes harder to hear the voice, understanding and knowing what He's calling for. When I responded in the beginning, I was Abraham. I was just being faithful. I was just being in obedience, not knowing where I was going, not knowing the direction I was on. Everything was brand new. But now 18 years has gone by. And when the Lord calls from something from my life or a sacrifice or to take it to another level, man, I know what it represents now. It's just God saying, I got more good that I still need to draw from your life. In order for that to take place, I got to draw from the life of Christ that comes through prayer and word. In 12:1-2, God initiated the calling. God initiated the calling. I put here too many times we initiate the calling. God said this, Pastor. God says, you better let me do it, Pastor, because I don't want to be in disobedience. You know how many guys have told me that and have not gotten a grape of fruit? I got to do this, Pastor, because I got to be obedient unto God. He comes before you do. And yes, I know he does. But I knew they were initiating the calling. The enemy comes as an angel of light. That's why he's giving you a shepherd. I'm not a little rookie shepherd no more. I got a little bit of experience now. I've been where you're at. I know the struggles. Too many times we initiate the calling of God. I put here, God's calling will always bless you and others as he did to Abraham. He says, I'm going to bless you, and through you, I'm going to bless others. But if they curse you, I'm going to curse them. That's like another scripture for in between the lines of be careful with God's anointed. Be careful. In Genesis chapter 11, I preached many years on this part right here. Genesis chapter 11. This is speaking on Abraham's father. We're talking about his father now, his physical father, amen, Abraham's father. In Genesis 11, 31, the Bible says, Terah took his son Abraham, his grandson Lot, son of Haran, and his daughter-in-law, Sarai, the wife of his son Abraham. Talking about Abraham's father now. And together they set out from Ur to Chaldeans to go to Canaan. But when they came to Haran, they settled there. Terah, which is once again Abraham's dad, lived 205 years and he died in Haran. Amen. Here, Abraham's father had taken the same trip much earlier than the one we're reading today dealing with Abraham. Look at the comparison on how God would have called out to Terah. In Genesis 11:31, we see how the Bible says that Abraham settled in Haran. He even died there, 205 years old when he died there. He died in Haran. That was in the place of the promise that God had for his life. But just look, just maybe, let's compare the calling of Terah, Abraham's father, and the calling of Abraham. In Genesis 12:5, this is to Abraham that we've been reading about. In Genesis 12:5, this is when after that Abraham moved in obedience to the word of the Lord. In verse 5 it says, he took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people and had acquired in Haran. Remember, dad lived there, right? In Haran. And they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. I put here a question. Could it have been that Terah had received the original calling from God? That the calling of God had come upon the life of Abraham's dad. The Bible says that he settled in Haran. He settled all the way to the place of even dying in Haran at the age of 205 years old. I believe that the calling of God was for Abraham's father that failed to respond incorrectly to the calling God had for his life. What would God do? Time would go by. And then God would bring this same calling to his son, Abraham, the one we have preached about this morning. The Bible says that Abraham was obedient and he moved from Haran and he got to Canaan. Why did Terah remain in Haran? Why did he not fulfill it? The calling of God was upon his life. Why did he not fulfill it? Why did he remain in Haran? Why did he die there at the age of 205 years? Why did he get caught and stuck and not reach the place that God had called them to be at? It's just maybe I'm speaking. Amen? Well, the Bible clearly tells us in Joshua 24, it's going to give us the answer why his dad didn't cut it and didn't make it. Joshua 24, verse 2 reads, Joshua said to all the people, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says long ago." This is Joshua in the promised land, amen? "Long ago, your forefathers, including Terah, the father of Abraham and Nahor, lived beyond the river and worshiped other gods." It's plural and it's a little g. Look what verse 3 says. "But I took your father Abraham from the land beyond the river and led him throughout Canaan and gave him many descendants, and I gave him Isaac," and you can keep on reading. What kept his dad? Let's just go ahead and call it sin. He was probably blessed in Haran. Things were going good financially in Haran. And the physical things looked good. Probably even had a good name. But here, Joshua speaking, he was pointing out Abraham's father as not being faithful, as not being obedient, and remaining on the other side of the river and never making it over the Jordan. And the Bible says that he followed little g gods. He got comfortable with what the little g gods had to offer. I have a point here. Just because, I remember we had Father's Day, barely nobody had a father that was doing what was right. Even my own dad. Even though he stayed married with mom and everything, he was a full-blown alcoholic. I didn't have that father to nurture me and to bring me up, even though he was there. He never gave me Jesus. He gave me everything: education, clothing, food, a beautiful house to live in the country. He worked hard, but he never gave me Jesus. He never gave me Jesus. He was a functioning alcoholic. He never missed school. He was loved at the high school. He retired. He worked way over the years of retirement. Everybody loved him, Mr. Raymond, because he was so cool. And he understood them. See, my dad, when he grew up picking up cotton. Not only did he grow up picking up cotton, he was also an orphan child. His parents gave him up at a very young age. And he would tell me stories that they took him to somebody else's house that was miles and miles away, but not a great distance, like 5-10 miles away. And that every day he would walk the tracks trying to figure out how to get back home to he knew who his real parents were. But he never could figure out because the walk was too long. But from being a cotton picker and poverty, all of us sleeping in one bed and a two-bedroom house, a kitchen with one room. I remember as a little kid watching them, cook fire up in pots and boil water and I'm talking in the sticks living. And I remember my dad working hard every day. And I remember him going to college. Only five from that little city went to college. And my mom and dad were two out of the five. And I remember him sharing with me how he would go to a big college. You know, not a junior college, but an official college. A university. Not knowing a word of English. He would go not wearing a word of English, and he would get two bachelor's degrees. So would my mother, because they wanted to provide for their children. And they worked hard. My mom would become a counselor of the junior high as cotton pickers living in poverty. And they worked hard every day. And I remember as a little kid when I would see all these boards, and I didn't know what it was. I was young, but it was our brand new house being built. And at that time, it was a great poverty over the land. There was just a lot of poverty taking place. But my mom and dad went and got an education. And they provided for seven children. They did their best. But Jesus was not in the equation. You would have thought I would have made it with flying colors, having a mom and a dad, education, and a beautiful house, and being provided for my when I was born. All the way through, you would have think I would have been somebody great. But man, I became one of the worst guys in high school. I passed up the guys that they were considered killers. I passed them up. I would start crossing tons of dope over the border of Mexico and stuff. And they would look at me and say, the son of the principal? And then I started with coke and heroin and all these things, the women 24/7. The lifestyle of a mafioso de Texas. And little did I know that I was being very deceived. Even though I thought I was Scarface. Man, they done messed up making that Scarface movie back then. Oh my God. You know how you show a basketball when you come out and you want to play basketball, or if it's a real good football or whatever it is. Little Alex, whatever the movie would be. He's going to get embarrassed right now, but praise the Lord. It would be whatever it was. Alex would be that person as a little boy coming out of the theater. Well, I just happened to come out of theater watching Scarface. I was Scarface. Tony Montana. And I was going to die being Scarface. My parents didn't give me Jesus. There was no way I was going to make it on my best day. In the world that we currently live in, you're not going to make it with a job, a nice place, a nice car. You're not going to make it, especially when you got a calling of God upon your life. You won't make it. The good you desire to do is not going to come out, Romans 7:14. You're going to keep doing what you hate to do. And what you want to do is not going to come out. Because only Jesus can bring the good out of your life. And the great news of the gospel of Jesus is that you could have no mom, no dad, no upbringing. And the grace and mercy and the power of the blood of Jesus is able to raise you up as if you had a perfect upbringing. When you come under the Father, our Heavenly Father, when you come into the process and you endure, all excuses leave. See, your promise is before you. It's not behind you. It's before you. And God right now, as I speak, is calling men, women, and youth. Because I remember what it was to be sitting on that side of the fence when my pastor was preaching. It was like the words were for me, but I knew in order to respond, I was going to have to make a lot of changes. I couldn't do that job. I couldn't do this job. I would have to make changes. I was going to have to let my shepherd lead me, which the majority of the time I didn't agree. But nevertheless, I don't know why, but I would be obedient to my pastor 18 years later. I'm a blessed man of God. I've been able to stand the test of times, the storms, the best hit of the enemy. I've been able to stand up. I'm a stand-up pastor. Too many of you, the devil goes, boo, and you take off running. In the world, you had a testimony and feared by all. But the devil uses somebody, a person or man or sister of church to go, boo, or look at you wrong, and you want to leave, and you want to get in the flesh, and you want to fight. God's calling men right now. You're going to have to make some changes to respond to the calling of God. Do you really want that good that you know is within your life to come out? You're going to have to do it the way of Jesus. You're going to have to give up your will for the will of God. It ain't going to come by getting a promotion at the job, more money, a better car, a better house, a prettier girl. It ain't going to come that way. I promise you, I tried every one of those. Over and over. It don't even come by being Tony Montana. What are you going to do? God's calling men right now. I know he is. I know he is, and you're thinking about it. He's showing you right now what you got to change. Say, no, I can't do that, man. I've worked too hard to get to this. I can't do that. I can't do that. You're not telling me you can't do that. You're coming against God, the one that wants to bless you, to use you, and to allow that good that only he can bring out of your life. He's the only one that can do it. Some of you just got to move in a different direction. Some of you just got to make a move, not even knowing why you're making the move, not even understanding why you're making the move. You know you just got to make a move because you know God is doing something in you right now as I speak. He's doing something. You're looking at your track record, your success. You say, I'm doing much better, but am I doing the will of God? I'm off addiction now, but are you doing the will of God? See, you got the answer right now within you, if you are or not. It's a black and white. I'm letting the Holy Spirit tell you where you're at right now. I'm just speaking as my pastor would speak. But I responded. I started cleaning toilets. I started cutting the grass, painting the place, tile, doing everything in the church. Day after day after day, I became consumed to being with my pastor, to doing what was right, even though it didn't make sense. I didn't understand it. It was working. Even though it didn't make sense and I didn't understand it, it was working. It was working. The proof was in the pudding. I always say this, it comes up in my spirit that you can be obedient. You can be going through it, be in lack, and still be obedient right now. You can be obedient to the Lord right now as I speak. Totally in the flesh. You can make a declaration here this day to the devil and unto the Lord that I'm going to follow the Lord. For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We need our children to know who Jesus is. I don't care how great your children grow up to be. If they not have Jesus, they have nothing. I had everything as a kid growing up, but with no Jesus. I believe Abraham's father, Terah, was disobedient, and he settled in Haran, the Bible says, because I believe he had it going on in Haran. It was too much going on. It was, you know, finally he had blessings. He probably had livestock and all this stuff was going on, and he was not able to leave that for the calling of God. So he would shift the calling that was meant for him to his son. Back to the point. Just because his mom and dad didn't give you Jesus, don't mean God can't call you. The question is, are you going to follow in the footsteps of mom and dad? Or are you going to follow in the footsteps of your heavenly Father, the calling of God? The generational curse was brought upon your life. Are you transferring that to your children now? Are you transferring Jesus to your children? You can be barely making it, have no money right now, a hoopty car, and be giving Jesus to your kids, and they got it going on 10 times more than the person in the suburb in a fancy car living in a fancy house. In the end times that we live in, you got to have Jesus at the end. You got to have the light of the world in your life. As the worship team makes their way, please. There's nothing wrong with making money. There's nothing wrong with going to work. It's a good thing. But it can't take priority over Jesus, because then it becomes a little G God. It can have you settle. I didn't get here to this city, the house waiting for me, cars waiting for me, suits waiting for me, and all that, and all that stuff. I came to this city with zilch, zero, nada, nothing, but I had Jesus. I was inexperienced, but I had Jesus. I would keep putting one foot in front of the other one. Everybody was talking smack and doing these things, and I kept going. Because the proof that the Lord was able to do it was in my life. He did it for me. The proof was in my life that Jesus can do it in your life. There was times I couldn't get the proof from nowhere I looked. In any direction, I couldn't get proof that Jesus was alive and moving. And the only place I could find that proof was within my life. Within my life. The friend called Jesus. Been many times when I've had no one to back me up. That's why I love the Lord for my wife. I thank the Lord for my wife. But there was even at times that she was looking at me cross-eyed, not agreeing with me for following and answering the call of God. When I couldn't see it and I couldn't feel it, it was within me. The good was within me, and he kept wanting to come out. Jesus just kept wanting to come out. Don't give up. Don't quit. I got this. I got this, man. I got this. Jesus would continue to stir me, bring me to a position of prayer and word to grow me, for a mature Jesus would be able to come out of my life. Whether I was in the mountaintop or in the valley, a mature Jesus would start to emerge from my life. You see, when I speak of the good that we all have problems in bringing out, that good is called Jesus. Jesus. The goodness and righteousness of Jesus. The enemy's trying to keep Jesus. He'll be happy to just have Jesus in your life, but for him to come out and to show others that all things are made possible from an ex this or that member in the church. See, the enemy don't want a witness in the church. He don't want testimonies in the church of what Jesus is not only able to do in one's life, but through one's life. And there was many times I had no proof. But the proof within my life. And sometimes that's all you're going to have. But I want to let you know that's all you're ever going to need. Is the proof of Jesus within your life. Is it going to get hard? Yes, it is. It wasn't even easy for Jesus when he walked this earth. He took a beat down for you and I. He could have become prideful and smoked everybody dead. The Bible says I could call a legion of angels down right now. But he didn't, because he knew he would have to pay the ultimate price in the surrendering of his life. If he was going to be in one accord with his Father, he would have to give his life. And sometimes it's hard to give our life. See, but our life outside of Jesus ain't worth no good. It's no good. It has no value. Sometimes when we're trying to hold on to our life, Jesus speaking right now. Sometimes when we're trying to hold on to our life, we're holding on to all the bad within us. Everything that comes contrary to who Jesus is. When we try to hold on to our life, we're holding not only on to the bad, but we're holding on to Jesus from being released within our lives. Because we still want to do it our way as if it's worked. Or our way might be working in the physical. You might have money and cars and everything looks good. And why are you going to give that up to help a bunch of drug addicts out? I did. I gave up a business. I gave up beautiful Northern California to come to Milwaukee. I did. Abraham did. So I know there's men and there's women and the youth in here right now that got it in you to give it all, to surrender all, to follow Jesus. To surrender all. Stop trying to hold on to what don't have no worth. Stop trying to hold on for something that you worked so hard for. Jesus wants you to go way beyond just helping your own family. He wants you to go on to help many families that are lost and bound right now. But sometimes we get caught up in the nickels and the dimes. We're trying to come up. And we miss the calling of God upon our lives that was meant to be deposited within our children and transferred to our children. As we stand this beautiful day, it's a beautiful day.